How can people make sense of a God who seems to allow suffering? That's very often the way in which the question is then posed. And I think that the problem is with that word allow, because it looks as if God wills it in some way, or at least if he doesn't will it, then he permits it. And in some sense, whether willing it or permitting it, or however we want to describe that, it looks very much as if God is implicated in it. I think that way of looking at it is understandable, but trying to make God responsible in that direct way, I think just leads to confusion and leads to moral outrage and anger. I think we've got to find a better way of thinking it through. Because it's not that God allows or permits. God accompanies his creation, and it's a very unstable creation. It's unstable in its physical nature. It's still, if you like, in the process. But it's also unstable in its moral nature. So it's unstable in the terms that, you know, Paul asks and says, the good that I want to do, why is it that I don't do that? And yet the evil that I don't want to do, why is it that I do that? And so he's pointing up very well there, I think, the instability of the world in which we all live. Now, that God, rather than rejecting us, rejecting the world, inhabits this world in such a way as to be present to it in its reality, in its suffering, in its imperfection, to be present in it in such a way as to build it up again and to recover it. I think it's important to say that another way of solving this problem, if you like, of suffering and natural disasters is to say, oh well, there's always good that can come out of evil. And I think the danger in that line, if we take it too directly, is that somehow the good justifies the evil. So when we say that good comes out of evil, we're not justifying the evil. What we're saying is, even when there is something absolutely wrong and destructive, even when there is a disaster, the miracle that happens there is that good can come out of it. And I think that very often what is found in this is, when you examine these disasters, on the one hand they expose the extent of our complicity in these disasters. What do I mean by that? That very often you find that constructions have been poorly built, money hasn't been invested, the economic systems are not supportive, particularly of the poor, who are the ones that usually suffer most in these. So again, it's confronting us with the imperfect world that we have created out of our lack of moral vision, out of our lack of love and concern, and our lack of generosity. But nevertheless, what also happens in that is this, as I call it, this miracle of response, that somehow I'm drawn beyond myself, even beyond my own resources, to want to give as much as I can give of whatever I have to give, to help build up the people that are suffering and the situations that are in disaster. And I think what happens there is, if we could only hold on to that moral force, that imagination and that huge generosity, and make it work for us in the good times as well as in the disasters, then we discover something extraordinary which will really transform an unstable and precarious world.